Good evening, everybody. Good evening, everybody. How we feeling tonight? Y'all are a rowdy bunch, I see. Well, I'm so excited to be here. For some of you, I had the awesome opportunity to meet you. How many of you attended the fall retreat this year? I know we had an awesome time. I want to make sure that all of you know, if you didn't go this year, that you should sign up for next year. It's an amazing opportunity for you to get away. We're out at Jacob's Ladder. We had a great time in the Lord. Awesome opportunity for connection and for community. And tonight, I'm so excited just to be able to bring the Word of God to you. So I heard that you've been going through a series, The Way God Works. And today, we're going to continue in that vein. But before we do it, can everyone just give a dap to the person that's next to them? We're going to pray in the spirit of unity. Is that okay? Just right here. So, Lord, we offer up this time to you. This is your space. This is your time. I'm your vessel. And so we just ask, Lord, that you would have your way, that you would speak through me, God, that you would communicate the truth that you've given to me tonight. God, but that you be glorified and that you be lifted up. We thank you for every vessel in this place today, God, that you'd open their hearts to what it is that you're saying to them tonight. It's in the unmatched, unrivaled, undefeated name of Jesus we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. Let's go to work. I have a question, and I want to see how many honest people that we have in the room tonight. The question that I have for you is, how many people have ever asked the Lord this? God, what are you doing? Has anybody ever asked the Lord this question? God, what's going on? Where are you leading me to? Sometimes it feels like you're not here with me. It feels like I'm alone. What are you doing in my life? Has anybody ever asked the Lord that question? Now, when's the last time that you actually crashed out on the Lord? I can tell you the last time that I crashed out on the Lord, unfortunately, I remember exactly when it was. It was in the summer of 2022. Can I tell you the story? So the Lord called me out of the last season of my life. Has anyone ever been called out of a season of their life by the Lord? I was living in Europe for 12 years, and the Lord spoke to me very clearly, and he said, listen, Josh, it's time for you to put this season down. I'm walking you into something new. And I said, no, please, God, no. I don't want to go back. And he said, it's time to go back. I have something for you. And so you know what I did? I obeyed. I said, God, it's not exactly what I had planned for my life. It's not exactly what I saw for my life, but this is what you're telling me that I need to do. So it's exactly what I'm going to do. And when I came back, it seemed like I was walking into absolutely nothing. And I remember when everything came to a head, I used to drive every single day from Shawnee, Oklahoma to Oklahoma City and back to Shawnee and back to Oklahoma City. And one day I was driving down I-40 and I remember I was screaming at the top of my lungs saying, God, where are you at? What are you doing with my life? Why have you left me by myself? You called me to this. I didn't call me to it. And I'm sure the people that were driving next to me were like, what is going on in this dude's car? Because I'm literally crying. I have snot coming out my nose. I'm yelling at the top of my lungs. And I remember as clear as day, when I got done going crazy, the Lord spoke to me. And you know what he said? Three words. Are you done? It sounded like to me more like, are you done? And I remember I opened my mouth and I audibly said to the Lord, I'm done. Tears streaming down my face in a state of confusion, not understanding what the Lord was leading me to. Has anybody ever been in that place in your life where you don't know what the Lord is taking you into? You just know that God has called you to it. From that day forward, the Lord began to show me this thing, how he works. And so I want to give you an illustration to start. I promise you we're going to get to the Word of God. I have my Bible here. But before we get there, I want to show you something. This is called a bottle of Coke. Would everyone agree? This is a bottle of Coke. Now, how many people in the room like to drink Coke products? Just raise your hand. No shame. Okay. Now, how many people in the room love to drink Coke products? Raise your hand. Okay, we have a few more. Now, how many people in the room call this pop? Okay, now, for all the people that raise your hand, after service, I'll be here. We'll have prayer. We can walk through deliverance. This is called soda. If I take this bottle and I shake it up, and then I point it at the front row, what do you think is going to happen? Thank you, sir. They're going to get spread. And why is that? Because soda has something in it called CO2. That's called carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide in soda has dissolved carbon dioxide. And anytime you shake up that bottle, sir, what happens is that you put those molecules under pressure. And all of a sudden, it's looking for a place to expand and to grow. And so the gas is trying to come outside of the liquid. So if I was to take this cap off, I'm sorry, lady on the front row. Now, my friends, this is called a bottle of water. Let's just say I take this water, I shake it up, I do the Macarena, and then I point it at the front row. What's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. And why is that? Because the only thing in water should be H2O. Two vessels, two bottles, two shakings, two different results. The only difference, what's inside the vessel. And that day, the Lord began to speak to me, to tell me. So many of us look to see what's happening on the outside of us and what our external environment looks like. But when you start to understand the way that God works, we sang it, that God works from the inside out. And so we're looking to see what's going on out here, but God is concerned about what's on the inside of here. And so it doesn't matter if you get shaken, if you become like water, you won't move. Look at the story of David. The Bible says that Samuel pulls up to the house of Jesse to anoint the next king of Israel. And he says he's walking through and he asks him to line up all of his sons. And so he lines up all of his nice looking sons and he's going down the line and he gets to the tall one and he's like 6'7", muscles. He must be the next king of Israel. And the Lord speaks to Samuel and says, no. You know what your problem is, Samuel? That you're looking on the outward appearance, but God is looking on the heart. And so he takes him to a small little boy named David. And when he sees David, he doesn't think that David is qualified to be the king because he says he doesn't look like a king. But God says, I've qualified him to be a king based on what's on the inside of him. And so today, we're just going to talk about something called transformation and how God is looking for a people that will completely yield and submit to him, to allow him to transform them from the inside out. We're gonna go to the word of God. We're gonna be in Genesis chapter 37 today. Can we go to Genesis chapter 37? There's a story in the Bible of a man by the name of Joseph. Many of us have probably heard this story before, but we're gonna dissect this story. When we get to Genesis chapter 37, we find a man by the name of Jacob. Somebody say Jacob. That's crowd participation. Amen. Jacob. And the Bible says that Jacob had a little dysfunctional family going on. Why? Because Jacob had four baby mamas and he had 13 kids. So if you have four baby mamas and 13 kids, somebody's not going to get along. And one of those kids that he had was a young boy by the name of Joseph. And the Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved
everyone else. Now, that's interesting. How many of you would say that your parents loved you more than they loved your siblings? Anyone? Oh, that's a lot of people. Amen. Now, my siblings would probably tell you that I'm the favorite. I say no in humility, but I think they're right. The Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph more than he loved anybody else. When you get to Genesis 37, chapter 37, verse number 2, they're going to pull it up. We're going to read. It says, so one day, Jacob had a special gift made for Joseph, a beautiful robe. So the Bible says that Jacob had this robe that he had made for his one son. Now, understand, he had 12 sons and one daughter, but only one robe. That means that this robe was to show favoritism. It was to show the favor that he had for Joseph. So Joseph is walking around with his Gucci shoes and he's got his Montclair jacket going on and everybody else is wearing the dusty twos and they got like the old Kanye looking knockoff jerseys that he wears. Everyone's wearing this terrible stuff and now you see Joseph walking around in a coat that his father had made for him. But his brothers hated him because their father loved him more than the rest of them. They couldn't say a kind word to him. Understand that because of the father's love towards Joseph, that the people around him couldn't stand him. And I need you to understand this, that if you are a child of God, it is possible that when you walk out into the world, they might not understand what's on you, they might not understand what's in you, but the reason that people might come against you is because of the love of the Father on you. But that shouldn't change what's on the inside of you. The Bible says that Jacob loved Joseph. And then one day, it says that he sends his son Joseph out to meet his sons. They were out shepherding. They were out with the flock. The Bible says that Jacob had sent his other sons, the 10 sons, out to Shechem. And so he goes and then he tells Joseph, hey, I want you to go meet your brothers. I want you to go check on them. Now, this was a problem. You know why this is a problem? Because Joseph had already showed himself to be a snitch. The Bible says he was a snitch. It literally says that he was always telling on his brothers. So you could just imagine, you got this little kid, he's a little ornery, he's probably a little prideful and arrogant now because he has the love of the father, and now he has this coat that nobody else has, and he's also always telling on his brothers and sisters. How many of you were the one telling on your brother and your sister? So now you see Joseph, he picks up his stuff, he probably takes his clipboard to take some notes, and he walks out to find his brothers hurting. Now, I want you to notice one thing about this. Joseph is at home, but his brothers are at work. Are you starting to see the dynamic of this family, why they can't stand this little boy? Why are we all out here doing all this work and Joseph is just hanging with mommy and daddy at home? And so now Joseph begins to take this journey, and the Bible says that he gets to Shechem, and when he gets to Shechem, a man finds him and says, hey, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking for my brothers. He tells him, they're not here, but I heard that they were going to Dothan. And as Joseph began to walk to Dothan, verse number 18 tells us, when Joseph's brothers saw him coming, they recognized him in the distance. Now, how do you think they recognized him in the distance? Well, probably because he looked like a peacock coming in the distance. If you look like Toucan Sam on the way, they probably could recognize that he was there looking like a box of Fruity Pebbles with his coat of many colors. It says that they recognized him in the distance. As he approached, they made plans to kill him. Now, I need everybody to look at me because this is very important. How did they come to the point where they were ready to kill their own brother? This, young adults, is why every single one of us has to deal with the thing that's festering in our heart. This is why we have to deal with the unforgiveness that's festering in our heart. This is why we have to deal with the bitterness that's festering in our heart. This is why we have to deal with the lust that's festering in our heart. This is why we have to deal with the pain and the trauma that festers in our heart. Because this it wasn't the first time that they had thought about killing this boy. This was just the first time they had the opportunity to do it. When they saw their brother in the distance, it said that they made plans to kill him. I'm sure before this time, they had conversations like, we can't stand him. If he would just go away, why should we put up with him? If he just wasn't here anymore, we could get rid of him. They'd had conversations about it, but they never had the opportunity. And the Bible says that when they saw him coming, they recognized him and they made plans to kill him. There's something about the things that we harbor in our heart that the Lord wants to take care of. This is the beautiful thing about it, is that you don't have to take care of those things by yourself. This is why Jesus died. This is why he shed his blood. These are the songs that we just sang. There is a power that the Lord has given to you and me that we do not have to accept the sin that tries to creep and knock at the door. But his brothers couldn't stand him. And so it says, here comes the dreamer. You got to understand this. You can't tell your dreams to everybody. Because some of you have dreams that the Lord has given you. And as soon as you tell that dream to somebody else, all of a sudden they begin to speak negative against the thing that God told you. They begin to get a negative vibe towards the things that God has spoken over you. And now all of a sudden you start to question, is this thing that God put in my heart real? Should I go after it? Because when I told my friend said this doesn't sound good. This doesn't sound like something you should pursue. This doesn't sound like something the Lord would give to you. You cannot tell your dreams to everyone, but remember, Joseph was immature. The Bible says that he was 17 years old when all this is happening. 17, prideful, arrogant. And every single time he had a dream, the Bible says that he ran to his brothers. Guess what? I had another dream. If not being able to read the room was a person, that person's name would be Joseph. And every time he would tell his brothers, and they hated him the more. And the Bible says that they looked at him and they said, here comes the dreamer. Come on. Let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. Some versions say pit. We can tell our father a wild animal has eaten him. Then we'll see what has become of his dreams. Look at what they're doing now. Not only are they plotting to kill their brother, but now they're trying to figure out how they're going to cover it up. Have we ever done this before? Not only do we walk into the ways of sin, but now we're trying to figure out the lie that we can tell to cover up the sin that we should have never committed. Instead of not doing the thing that we know we shouldn't do, we try to figure out how to do the thing that we shouldn't do to cover up the thing that we shouldn't do. The Bible says that they started to consider how they were going to cover this up. Watch verse 20. So when Joseph arrived, remember they saw him in the distance. It says when Joseph arrived, his brothers ripped off the beautiful robe that he was wearing. Wait a minute. What was the thing that they said that they wanted to do to him? What did they say they wanted to do to him? Kill him. So why are they taking the time to strip off the robe that he's wearing? Because there was something about the thing that he was clothed in that they could not stand. It reminded him of the favor that he had that they did not have. It reminded them of the future that he had that they did not have. It reminded them of the dreams that he told that they did not have. And so when he arrived, it says that they stripped off the robe that he was wearing. Then they grabbed him and threw him into the cistern. Now, I need every single person in this room to make a mindset shift right now with me. Can we do it? This is what I need you to do. If you're hearing me right now, I need every single person to go with me in your imagination. We're about to switch roles and we are about to step into the shoes of Joseph. You are walking to your brothers. the ones that you've grown up with, the ones that you know every single thing about. You're doing what your father has told you, and all you're doing is checking up on them. Can you imagine as Joseph is walking up to his brothers and the first thing that they do is grab him and begin to beat him and strip him? Can you imagine the fear that's in his eyes? Can you imagine what he's thinking? What is going on? Please stop. Don't do this. Please. What's happening? The Bible says that they grabbed him and they threw him into a pit. Those pits, if you research them, are 10 to 20 feet deep. If you don't know what 10 feet is, when we leave here, go into the basketball gym and look at the rim. That's 10 feet. So imagine sitting on that rim and then someone taking you from there and throwing you at the ground. And that's only if the pit was only 10 feet. If the pit was 20 feet, that means it's twice as high as what that basketball rim is. And the Bible says that his brothers grabbed him and they picked him up and they threw him into the pit. Can you imagine what's going through his head? Why are you doing this to me? You know what that's a depiction of sometimes? That can be a depiction of our lives. How sometimes it just feels like everything's fine. Has anybody ever walked into a moment like that? You've just been casually going about your day, doing what you know to do. His father just asked him to check on them. And at some point, it feels like life grabs you and it's shaking you and it's picking you up and it's throwing you down. And all of a sudden, you find yourself in a place that you would have never imagined. I can just imagine that Joseph, when he hits the bottom of that pit, the Bible doesn't say what happens. It doesn't say if he breaks a bone. It doesn't say if something's dislocated. But you can imagine that he did not hit that ground perfectly fine. If you read Genesis chapter 42, it's sad. You know what it says? It tells us that Joseph is in the pit crying to his brothers, please, please don't do this. Please let me out. Help me. Please help me. Has anybody ever been in a situation when you felt like you were crying out for, please, anybody, please see me, help me, please. I don't deserve to be here. Why am I here? I can imagine that Joseph was at the bottom of that pit and he yelled and he screamed. If you read the story, the Bible says that what he heard when he yelled was, hey, can you pass the bread? Hey, can you pass the mayonnaise? Can you pass the salami? That his brothers were just having a meal while he's yelling out for his life. When I was praying about what I was supposed to speak about today, the Lord told me before I even came here that this message wasn't for everyone in this room. But he did tell me, there are some people in this room that right now you're in the pit. And when I started to pray and ask God to show me what was happening, I could see Joseph just weeping. And his cry to his brother turned into a cry to the Lord. You know, sometimes we feel like people are going to save us, especially those people that are close to us, the people that are always around us. So as Joseph sat there, I could see him saying, God, help me. Those questions that we ask the Lord when nobody's around us. Why is this happening to me? Why am I in this situation? Why do I have these parents? Why did this happen to me? Why the pain to me? Why the trauma to me? Why do I have to go through this? Why did you pick me? And I can imagine he sat there. It's dark. It's lonely. It's scary. The Bible says that at one point, someone comes to rescue him. Can you imagine what he's feeling now? Thank you, God. Thank you. They came back. They came back. They came to their senses. Thank you, God. And he grabs a rope and they pull him to the top. And when he gets to the top, the Bible says it's a group of Ishmaelites. Imagine his shock. Who is this? Your homework is to read the rest of the story of Joseph. But I want you to understand a couple things. Is that Joseph didn't know it in the moment. But if you keep reading this story, you will find out that the pit of pain was actually the path of promise. That it was the path that he had to go through to get to the place where God was taking him. That God had actually never left him. Read the story. It keeps saying, the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. And anywhere that the Lord is, if the Prince of Peace is in the pit, then the pit becomes the pit of promise. Anywhere that God is can turn into a pathway for where God is taking you. Joseph showed up that day, covered in a coat. But he left that day covered by God. There are certain things in our life that the Lord will have to strip us from, because I'm convinced that had Joseph kept that coat, it would have defined him for the rest of his life. It would have been the identity that he walked around with. But the Lord knew at some point that I have better plans for Joseph than he has for himself. Do you know that? Does everyone that's listening to me today know that God's plans for your life are better than the plans that you have for yourself? That's one thing I can promise you. You can take it to the bank. I will stake my life on it. I don't care what you think about your life. God's plans for your life are better than your plans for your life. And if you yield your plans to God's plans, you might find that the path might be a little bit rocky, but God will take you from a pit to a prison to a palace, because that's exactly what God has planned for your life. Do you think that when Joseph saw that dream, that he ever imagined that he'd be in the pit? Nobody does. You know what? It's interesting. So when we think about our lives, we're like, okay, here's my life. Anybody like to ride roller coasters? By a show of hands, how many like to ride roller coasters? Okay. Some of y'all got happy when I said that. Some of y'all really like, okay. I saw smiles. Amen. I love roller coasters. So I'm one of those people that, like, I'm on the Titan. I'll put my hands up at the top, because I found that it's more freeing to put your hands up than to brace yourself. It's like worse to brace yourself, right? Here's one thing I know about roller coasters. When you get on the roller coaster, nobody expects the roller coaster to do this, right? What kind of roller coaster is that? Everyone that gets on a roller coaster expects the ups, the downs, the loop-de-loops, all of this. And we just expect it. You know that's what's going to happen. And sometimes life is like that. But you know what makes it worth it? Is when the person next to you is Jesus. The Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know what's interesting about that passage? It says the valley of the shadow of death. It's not even death. It's a shadow. That God is always with you. I want to show you something cool. Because the Bible says that when they threw Joseph into the pit, it was, anyone remember? Empty. That it was empty. The story of Joseph, they take him to Egypt. He's taken to Potiphar's house. He's elevated at Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife tried to get my man crazy. He gets thrown into the prison. Now he's at the prison. The Bible says the cupbearer and the baker from Pharaoh's house are thrown into prison. Do you see how God is connecting the dots? How many at the retreat, I always say this, God is the best Tetris player you've ever met in your entire life. So I don't know if any of y'all work at Aldi, but I shop at Aldi and I say those people that work at Aldi, the requirement is you have to be good at Tetris because the way that they put your little groceries in the box is crazy. God will move the pieces of your life in ways that you would never even think of. Could you imagine trying to construct your life even just from where you are today for the rest of your life? Can't do it. We can't do it. Think about how meticulous the Lord is. The Bible says that they came to the prison and that at that point, Joseph met them and they both had a dream and now he interprets the dream. One of them gets exalted back into Pharaoh's house. 2 years later, Pharaoh has a dream and now all of a sudden, he's standing before Pharaoh because of his ability to interpret dreams. Now let me connect the dots for all of you. When Joseph was walking to his brothers that day and they were plotting to kill him, God had a plan for him to meet Pharaoh already. And there's nothing that anyone can do to thwart the plan of God on your life. When you understand that the promise is greater than the pit, any pit that you ever find yourself in, the promise that God has put on your life is greater than that. Do you understand what the promise on your life is? Do you know what the promise God has made to you? The Bible says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish and subdue the earth. That God has given you authority. He's giving you dominion. The Bible says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that you are his masterpiece. It says that you are a royal priesthood. The Bible says that you are the salt of the earth and the light of the world, that you're a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hidden. That's what the Bible says about you. And if anybody ever tells you something other than what God has told you about who you are, it is a lie. Because the promises of God are yes and amen, and they will always prevail in your life. And some of you today, all you need to be reminded of is the promise that God has put on you. Because some of you have been in the place and you've been asking God, why am I here? What are you doing? Are you still with me? Can you see me? Do you hear me? And God is saying, I'm still right here. You elevate what I said to you above everything else. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing. Hearing. Everybody, do this with me. Ready?
Y'all are good. One, two, three. Good. Now that is a
noise you just heard. Now everybody follow me. Congratulations. Congratulations. You know what that was? That was a noise you were hearing. Do you see the difference? We try to build our faith off of But the Bible doesn't say that faith comes by that. The Bible says that faith comes by repetition, consistency, over and over and over again. It's not just the one time that we walk into Sunday service or the one time that we come on Tuesday. That means that every single day I have to be before the God of heaven and say, God, what is it that you want me to do today? I'm in my word. I'm praying to him because he's going to remind you of who you are. And if you want to grow your faith, you have to do it by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And so I can imagine, because the Bible says that Joseph never wavered. It's important, because when you read the story of Joseph, this is what you see, that he not one time in the text complained. He chose to not complain. Remember this as you walk out this door today. Choose to not complain. Some of y'all hear what I'm saying. Some of y'all gonna go to work tomorrow and be like, but you don't know who I work with, bro. Choose to not complain. It's a choice. It is a decision. You do not have to do it. Commit yourself to trust. Number two, choose to not complain. Commit yourself to trust. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. That means that you have to trust God when you don't understand. You think Joseph understood what was going on? How do you understand that? You don't. And you don't need to. That's the problem, is that we ask all these questions. Why? And God's like, just trust me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I can see it all. And all you're seeing is what you're seeing in the frame. I'm outside of it. Trust me. And the last thing is cling to his promise. If you will cling to the promise of God, what you'll find is that God will take you exactly where you need to be. Sometimes the best thing we can do is close our eyes. You know why? Because faith is built in your ears, but doubt can be built in your eyes. And so when you see where you're at, it will make you doubt the thing that God said. But I'm in the pit, God. I know you said that I would be elevated, but I'm in the pit. This is what I see. He's like, it's not about what you see. Y'all read the Bible. Faith comes by hearing. But the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight. So sometimes we need to just close our eyes and say, Lord, what is it that you are having me to do? Where are you taking me? Can we just bow our heads for 1 second as we get ready to close? I just want you to focus on a couple things. One, is there a coat in your life that you need to give up? Something that you've wrapped yourself in, it's been covering you. You've been trusting in it more than the one that gives all life. The thing that you have to shed so you can walk into the destiny that God has before you. For some of you, it's relationships. Some of you, it's people. For some of you, it's addiction, and God will break it off your life. He wants to, and he's not scared of it. God's not scared of your sin. He died for it. God's not scared of your addiction. He died for it. He will take it off of you. The Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And for everyone that finds himself in a pit today, I pray the power of Jesus be upon you. The Holy Spirit arrest you. Empower you to do that which he's called you to do. Thank you for your word, God. Let the seed be planted deep in our hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus.